Morning.
Morning.
I'm glad that I'm able to be here, and I have an exciting but actually unpleasant subject. It's kind of rare for me to have an unpleasant subject, but this is one of those times when it's been on my heart. It's something that I personally have felt like I need improvement in. The subject is a zero. You might notice that this is a long, skinny mark, and I'm not very good with my handwriting, of course. But for some reason, a long, skinny oval is a zero. A big, fat one is a capital O, in case you are wondering how to make a zero and an O. I like to put a strike through my zero. I don't know why that is, but it helps me remember it's nothing. It's a not. No smoking. That's a zero. No smoking. That's kind of why I started striking through my zeros. Does God consider zero? Now, this is an interesting concept. We're going to go through what does God think about zero? What is a zero? First of all, it's my least favorite number. Okay, this is the reason I have failed college algebra. I've done that several times. Okay, I have this little record of I tried here, I tried with Crystal. I did apply myself with Crystal, by the way. There's some reasons, fundamental reasons, why zero is a problem for me. I cannot, for some reason, grasp the concept of multiplying by nothing. It just does not make any sense to me. It doesn't make sense to add up two zeros. It doesn't make sense to have five groups of zero. It just doesn't make any sense. And yet, that's a concept that you have to learn, so it's my least favorite number. And yet, I love computers. Guess what? Computers have zeros and ones, on and off, yes and no. They're binary, right? So without a zero, a computer would be useless. It would not run, it could not function, it could not be programmed. The process is important, of a zero and a one. What is a zero? In society, there's many examples of what zero is. These two pictures are ground zero. Ground zero is the point where the missile explodes. It's close to the middle of the dead center. Where it explodes, that's ground zero. You notice in the first picture, ground zero, what we now, when people say ground zero, they think about the World Trade Center site. They called it ground zero, even though it wasn't really a nuclear explosion. That's where the thing happened, ground zero. And over in the far side is the Hiroshima bomb. It hit right next to a museum. And very close to that area is where the bomb went off. Boom. Nuclear missile. Ground zero. Those are the two common ground zeros. What about zeroing in? You've heard this phrase for calibrating something. You're going to zero in. You're going to aim and zero and get it perfect. Zeroing in. Again, not really concepts of nothing, are they? Those are pictures of something. Zeroing in is something you do with something. Not a good example of a zero. Here's another bad example of a zero. This that you can't see is a zero screwdriver. And I don't know why did they decide. I guess they probably had a one Phillips and a two Phillips and a three Phillips. And they said, well, what happens if we make a little tiny one? We can't go from, what, do we go backwards from one? So I guess they did. They made a zero, okay, a zero screwdriver. So you say, get me a zero. This is not a zero. This is a something. It's not a nothing. The concept of zero. There's some Oakley Zeros. Oakley Zeros, very nice looking shades. A lot of people like them, guys with bald heads especially. They like to wear Oakley Zeros. It's a something. It's not a nothing. A lot of people drink Coke Zero. And all of the fad nowadays is get me a zero. Do you got any zeros? I need a zero to drink. Give me a Coke Zero. Okay, it's not a zero. It's full of chemicals. It's full of poisons. Whatever, it's not nothing. It is something. Not a zero. Here's a Mitsubishi Zero. Boy, the bad guys. Man, the zeros were in the air. We had to shoot them down. The zeros were going to crash into our ships. The zeros. That right there is a zero made by Mitsubishi. Again, not it's a something. It's not a nothing. Zero is the concept of nothing. It's the concept of the lack of something, a null. It's a concept that is very important for a Christian. Scripturally, the danger is that God could see you as a zero. He could see you as a nothing. Does God see us as a nothing? Remember what the scripture says in Galatians 6 verses 3 through 5. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And notice the context. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. What this scripture says to me, there is a condition of nothing for people. There are something peoples, and there are nothing peoples. And the key factor is actions. If you test your own actions, are you a nothing, or are you a something to God? So it's accounting time, right? Okay, we're going to use the zero. Now the zero is a very good, useful tool in math. I'm not very good at using math or using a zero, but I'm going to show you. Okay. I've been a really good person. I've never killed anybody. No murder, right? So I'm going to give myself a zero for the murder. I've never murdered. I'm doing good, right? Okay, let's see what else. Adultery. I'm okay on adultery. I've never slept with another woman. Some people think this way, and bear with me. So I got a zero there. What about drunkards? I'm not a drunkard, okay? So I give myself a zero. I'm not a drunkard. Let's see, what else? Well, there's a lot of things I could add, but you get the point. What happens if you add this column up? If you add up all the things that you didn't do, the things that you're not like, the things that you as a person abstained from. You're so strong, right? You've abstained from all these things. You're a zero. You have barely held. You're at zero. That's great. Well, let's continue. The early church had nothings in it. False brothers who penetrated the ranks in the church. And they seemed to be important. Those who seemed to be important. Whatever they were, makes no difference. Makes no difference, left or right. Do you know what happens if you add zero to both sides of an equation? Or subtract zero from both sides of an equation? It doesn't change. The zero does not affect that equation. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that whatever they were, they makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. That's what I just did. I added up some nothing. You can't add nothing to something. Remember what the scripture says about love. If you don't have love, you are what? Nothing. A nothing. If I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to be burned to the flames and I don't have love, I gain nothing. There's another concept. Can you gain nothing? I can gain a whole lot of nothing. It's just a silly concept, gaining nothing. And you might say, but I love the brothers. Yeah, I didn't murder. I can write down a zero. I love the brothers. That should count for something, right? Do you know that Jesus said, if you just love the brothers, you're just doing your part. You're back at zero. He said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Don't even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? You know, the gangsters really love each other. They take care of each other. They watch out for each other. Does that make them good? Does that make them any better than anyone else? No. So we're going to do some more accounting. Okay? I attend church. What does that get me? I'm meeting requirements. I'm doing what God asked me to do. That's really not much. That's a nothing. Well, I love the brothers. I love them so much. Again, is it going beyond what God asked you to do? Is it satisfying the requirements? Or is it just like the tax collectors, that they love each other? And I could go on with this one too. There's a very great danger here. And you'll see it as we keep moving. The world is nothing. Circumcision, uncircumcision, keeping God's commands is what counts. If you keep God's commands, you start counting. And he says, you know, that all in the world is coming to nothing. It's passing away. What a man values is nothing to God. And here's the key, and here's why this one may not make sense yet. Sin is more than you think it is. If you think that sin is avoiding evil, then you're in this category over here. You think that you can avoid all these evils and avoid all these sins. I didn't transgress. I didn't break any laws. Then you're over here in this category, but you have forgot half of sin. The other half of sin is not doing. It's being a zero. Remember what Scripture says, he must turn from evil and do good. Anyone who knows to do the good and does not do it is a sinner. He's sinning by not doing good. Here's some examples from life. And this one's kind of humorous, but the man walks in from his hard day of work, and he sits down. He's worked very hard. He's a laborer. He sits down at the dinner table, and the wife comes in. He says, "Honey, there are no broken dishes in our house. I have not done anything wrong all day. I didn't break any dishes. They're all there. They're accounted for. The children are not dead. There's a whole lot of things. The cat didn't die today, and there's a lot of things that I didn't do today, and you should be proud of me." And he looks at his empty table, and he looks at his empty, you know, and the laundry's all piled up. "I didn't burn any clothes. There's no iron burns or anything. You know, the clothes are just like they were, and I've done great, right?" Of course, that's just silly. It'd be like a boss. The second example, the boss comes in. "How'd you do today, sir?" "Well, I didn't waste any paper. I didn't break any pencils. All the pencils are accounted for. I promise they're all here. I didn't steal from you. I didn't cheat from you. I was a good worker, right? Because I didn't do any of those things. I didn't embezzle. I was a good worker." Well, of course, that's silly. The boss is going to say, "You're fired," right? He's going to say, "Get out of here. I don't need you." That's the danger of this thinking, of thinking that because I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do this, I'm okay. That makes you a zero in God's sight. Remember, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Remember that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And like, that one's okay. That's kind of the first part of this. I've crucified the sinful nature. Okay, I'm good. I understand that Jesus' blood, even if I did this lust thing up here, right? Even if I did this and I got a negative one, I have crucified my sinful nature. And the blood of Jesus can cover this one. Covers it right away. Jesus' blood can return me there. Jesus' blood is important and it's wonderful and it covers over these things that we do that are wrong. But does it go on and say, well, it's okay for them now to be lazy and not work and to be a zero in the kingdom because, you know, they've done nothing and they're okay? That's where I think we need to look at the next verse. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. The first one says, I've crucified my desires. I've crucified myself. I now live for God. The second one says, from there I'm going to move. I'm going to go where the Spirit says go. I'm going to do what the Spirit says do. We have to do both parts. Did you consider that nothing is a withdrawable evil? Doing nothing is what can get you withdrawn from and supposed to be in the church. In Proverbs 18:9, the one who slackens his work is brother to one who destroys. The nothing is a destruction. A slackness in work, destruction. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. What is wrong with this man? Does he steal? Does he cheat? Does he swindle? Does he lie? What are all the things that he doesn't do? I mean, he could list them. Keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. By not living according to the teaching, he was idle. He was not outdoing. He was sitting in content and storage and safety, and he was an idle person. God expects fruit from you. Are you doing or delivering nothing for God? We must do more than minimums. And this is why this column is here. When Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn him the other cheek, he was sending a principle. He was saying, it's not good enough to just take the hit. Okay, it's not good enough to just be hit and then be okay. The second part is turn the other cheek, going beyond to be a godly person. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. It's the same principle. He wants to take your tunic. Fine, here, have that and my cloak. Go beyond. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. If you just barely get along and do your minimums, you're in danger. Bare minimums are not enough for God. And even in our employment, if you just barely do exactly what you're told and then sit around the rest of the day and you're not aggressive and you're not out there and you're not trying to further the business, then you're in danger of losing your job for that. Here's some examples from Scripture. The praying Pharisee. His words were wonderful. I thank you that I'm not like this, and I'm not like that, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. This Pharisee did exactly what I just did up here. He said, I'm not like this sinner. I don't steal from people. I'm a great person. And he was wrong, wasn't he? He thought he was okay, but he was evil because he was doing nothing. What about the rich man? How did the rich man fail, the rich man and Lazarus? He didn't throw the poor out of his gate. Okay, the poor was there with the rich man. They were there. He did not have the servants clean up all of the bread that fell from the table. He let the bread fall for the poor man. He could consider that maybe as something he did. There's no indication in this story that this man failed. He didn't steal. He didn't lie. He obviously had his wealth. It didn't seem to be any dishonest thing. So what really, what's the deal? What did he do? Well, he did nothing. That's the bottom line. The rich man did nothing. Here was Lazarus. He could have done something. He chose not to do something. Condemned as a lazy man, ending up in torment for only doing nothing. What about the fig tree? The fig tree looked fine. It looked good. Jesus walked by. He said, that fig tree caught my eye. I'm going to go over and get some fruit from it. It's got leaves on it. It's producing something. Leaves. But it had no real fruit. And Jesus said, it was cursed. And it withered and died, the fig tree. Because it was doing nothing. It was not producing the fruit. Jesus destroyed the fig tree for doing nothing. The one talent man. A harmless man. Didn't waste the talent he was given. Knew his master. He was not, just squandering. He was not embezzling. He was not dishonest. He was not immoral. He didn't lie. All these things he could put on the list. Why was he wicked? The one talent man. Why was he wicked? Because he did nothing. He put the thing in the ground. He gave it back. He fulfilled his obligations to his master. And yet he was a wicked, lazy servant. Because he did nothing. The one talent man is cast out for doing nothing. A lack of deeds, according to James, makes you dead. If you see someone that's destitute, needs food, needs clothing, and you say, be warm and well fed, and I wish you well, but you do nothing about his physical needs, doing nothing. In the same way, faith, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But doing nothing equals death. The final judgment will be, when God takes the tally and he says, okay, yes, the blood does cover this, the final judgment is going to be, what did you do? Both good and bad, what deeds have you done? Remember he said, I was hungry or I was thirsty. I was in prison and you didn't do. Remember those phrases? Didn't do. What didn't you do for me? Our danger is that we think, well, I'm a good person, I'm clean, I've lived my life as hard as I can, to the best I can, closest to the line, and I know I sin, but I go back to that line because God covers over my sin, and I go back to that line. You're struggling to get to zero. Okay, you are not advancing. And what happens is, Jesus is going to come over here And these people over there, they didn't steal, they were not murderers, they were not adulterers. All that is ignored. He says, you did not do this. You did not do that. You did nothing. Because you did nothing, you're condemned, you're thrown into the fire and destroyed. Listen to what 1 Peter 1:17 says. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. This verse did not mean as much to me until I studied this subject. Now it means a whole lot more to me. God judges each man's work impartially. He says, let's weigh it, let's account it, let's put it out there and see. Are they a zero? Are they more than a zero? And that makes me think, huh, I better live my life as a stranger on this earth. I better have some reverent fear that I might just be doing nothing. I might be a good person, clean, honest, all those things, but not doing anything for God. I might be a nothing. I might be destroyed for doing nothing. So what can I do? That's a scary concept. If doing nothing gets me destroyed, what can I do? What about being busy? That's the opposite of doing nothing. Titus 2 says that teach the older women to be busy, to work with their hands, to provide for their families, to take care of their families, to be self-controlled, to be pure. It's a lot of stuff to work on in Titus 2. And not just for the women. There's the young men and the old men, and everybody else is in Titus 2. If you want to know what to do, look at Titus 2. Persevere. Perseverance is more than just doing something. Perseverance means I'm going to go beyond. I'm going to keep pushing, keep pressing, keep going on. In James 1:4 it says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance must finish its work. Persevere and persevere and persevere and keep going and keep going. The moment you stop and say, well, I've done about right. I'm good now. I'm ready to go. I've done it. When you stop persevering, that's when you're in danger of becoming a nothing. What about work? Hebrews 6:10 says this, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you had shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Helping his people. If I can come over here in this column and I can say, yes, I've attended, but I have also maybe encouraged. I encouraged somebody today. You know, they were weak and they were ill, and I encouraged them. So I can start putting some marks up here. I attended, but I also, maybe I had to admonish. And hopefully people will admonish me because I need it, right? So that's great. So I can do that. I love my own, but I also love my enemies. And I pray for those who curse me. And I pray for the leaders and those in authority. And I do all this other stuff. And I do more than just maintain. Then I can start balancing becoming from a zero to becoming a positive person for God. I can be a Christian that God says, I'll not forget your work. He can forget my sins. That's the great part. These can go back to zero. They're gone. I don't have to worry about those. Now I really need to worry about these. I need to start doing. He will not forget my these. He will forget these, but he won't forget these. Okay, so that's nice and hammered in there. He will not forget the work you do. If you help others, if you help his people, and continue to help them. Look at what Hebrews 6:10 says again. Help his people, continue to help his people. You might say this, what have I done? And this is, again, at judgment time. I've been a good person. If you go before the judge, I've been an honest person. I've been a good person. What have I done? What are you accusing me of? What have I done? This is an attitude that's a dangerous one that we have as Christians. We think somehow we're in this justified position. So what have I done becomes like I'm okay because I have not done these other things. But that's not really what we're going to give an account for. We're going to give an account for what did I fail to do? What have I not done? Those are the questions we need to ask. The questions are going to be there. What did you not do for the least of my brothers? What did you not do when you saw me sick, when you saw me in prison, when you saw me without clothes and daily food? God can answer thus, you're right. You have not done anything. He can say, nothing is what you've done. Nothing. So this is a dangerous category to be in if we think about sin that way. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." And I brought this point out before, and I continue to bring it out. What we have done, whether good or bad, will be at judgment time. It's not a tallying of what have you kept from doing. It's a tallying of what have you done, both good and bad, to make this away from zero, hopefully. I don't want to be a zero. So I encourage you this morning, if you feel like maybe you're at zero, maybe you have maintained and kept the faith, but you have failed possibly to move from there, don't be a zero, because God will destroy those who do nothing. With those words, we'll have a song of invitation. Thank you.